Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Psalms devotional in the morning on this Friday, September 11th, 2020. It is the 19th anniversary of that terrible day when the world was changed and many people's individual worlds were changed. And we're in Psalm 91 this morning, which is a very interesting psalm for us to be in by God's providence. I did not plan it this way, but it is a psalm of protection and security for God's people. It's specifically about the Messiah, about Christ. But there are those who, on that day, when terrorists hijacked four planes and flew them into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon, and one plane was retaken by some of the passengers and crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, and over 3,000 people lost their lives, and America was changed forever. So many people have, you know, questioned where was God and where was God's protection. So we need to pray this morning for those who lost loved ones and for our country. And as we go into Psalm 91 this morning, let's pray. Father in heaven, we are your children, your people. We belong to you. There is no place we would rather be, no place that is better, no place that is safer than being held by you, being upheld by you, being guarded and protected under the shadow of your wings. But Father, you do not promise us that that means we will never encounter problems in this world, troubles, trials, tribulations. In fact, you've promised us that in this world we will have trouble. But we can take heart because you have overcome the world. And so when we are in you, we are secure no matter what we face in this life. We pray that you be with us this morning. As we are in Psalm 91, would you speak to us and would you write this word on our hearts, Father? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will buy him and show him my salvation. That is Psalm 91. And verse 11 here, you may recognize from the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew 4, Luke 4. And Satan, this is the verse that Satan quoted back at Jesus when he took him to the pinnacle of the temple, the highest point of the temple, when he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Which is, to us, of course, tells us a number of things. One, that the Bible knows, the devil knows the Bible better than we do. So we better know it really well, because he knows it really well. And he's a master manipulator and the father of lies. And so he does often quote the Bible and misuse it. The second thing is, it tells us that this is a messianic psalm, because this was a promise that was directed to the Messiah, to the anointed one. It has, of course, application for all those who dwell in God, who trust in God. But I do believe it was specifically intended as a promise for the Messiah. But then the third thing it tells us is that also this idea of being kept from physical harm, being kept from trouble, is of course not what Psalm 91 is ultimately promising, because Jesus, while he didn't throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple because he answered the devil and said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test, later, of course, he would face the cross, an agonizing and horrific death at the hands of wicked men, which he did for us and for our salvation. So, let's walk through Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. I was reading this morning in another devotional, and the author made the observation that the Bible sometimes uses metaphor to communicate something to us with a more vivid picture than simply stating it as a fact in a plain, non-metaphorical way. So here's an example of this. We could say, the psalmist could say, God is my protector. God is my protection. God protects me. Right? But the idea of saying, my refuge and my fortress, is this visual picture that you go in to the refuge, you go into the fortress, and when you are in, you are safe, you are surrounded. Sometimes the Bible uses the metaphor of a shield, right, to protect us from the attacks of the enemy. Sometimes it uses the word strong tower, which is basically the same thing as the idea of a fortress, but it's just a smaller fortified tower. It's the idea that we go into God. And how do we go into God? We go into God by faith. We trust him. We run to him and we hide in him. We surrender, in a sense. When you enter into a refuge and a fortress, you're in a sense making yourself vulnerable, because you're entering in, you're surrendering yourself over, and you're trusting not in yourself and in your own defenses anymore, but you're trusting in the refuge and in the fortress. And that is what it means for us to really trust in God, to say, I am in your hands. You are the one who keeps me. So there's a surrendering of our plan, our strategy, our agenda, and an accepting and an entering into the complete protection of God, which is an acknowledgement that he's wiser than we are, that he's stronger than we are, that he's the Savior that we need. And then there are promises given to those who will so trust in God, specifically to the Messiah, I believe. He is the he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. But he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. There's another great metaphor, and this is the metaphor, of course, of a bird protecting her young. Get the babies up under the belly and surround them with wings. And it's an intimacy, right? There's a relationship there. There's a dwelling close to the heart of God. And so that's a more personal and more relational picture than refuge and fortress. But it's the same idea, that you draw close to God, you go to God, you hide in him. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. Shield is bigger and buckler is smaller, and he's both protecting against large attacks and small, but against overwhelming things. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. So that's a categorization of different kinds of things that might threaten us. There's terror at night, there's arrow by day, there's pestilence in the darkness, there's destruction at noonday. reminds me of Psalm 121, which we'll probably get to eventually if we keep going through the Psalms, that, you know, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. It's this total protection. We are always safe. No matter what time of day, no matter what type of attack, we are always safe when we are kept by God, in God. And so he continues this idea. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. So this is a very comprehensive and a very powerful promise. But I said that it's not necessarily a promise that you're not going to have trouble, that bad things won't happen to you, that you won't feel overwhelmed at times, that you won't feel terrified or persecuted or harassed, or even that you won't die. This is not a promise of deliverance from physical opposition, danger, and even death, even though that's what it sounds like. Because we know the Lord Jesus faced the cross. We know that 11 of his 12 apostles faced violent deaths. We know that this is not something that God, that is to take, sometimes when you take the Bible too literally and you apply it too woodenly, you're actually manipulating Scripture by saying something that God did not intend to say. And I think if we go to the end of the psalm, we'll see the truth of what God is really promising. It is deliverance, it is rescue, and it is salvation and satisfaction. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So if we see this promise at the end of Psalm 91 and we understand it as it has been fulfilled in Christ and as it is applied to us, we can see something that is more powerful than simply God's going to keep us away from trouble or God's even going to keep us away from dying. It's something more powerful than that. And that is that ultimately we have a deliverance, we have a rescue that is stronger than death, that overcomes death. What happened to the Lord Jesus after they nailed him to the cross and they put him in the tomb and they set a seal and they set a guard and they said, it's over. What happened? 3 days later, he rose again. Because with God's power, the end is never really the end. But God can take us through the trouble, through death, right? This Under Armour ads I've been running lately, their slogan is, the only way is through, right? You got to push through the pain. You got to push through the difficulty. And that's God's redemptive plan, really, is the only way is through. So God will bring us into trouble. He will bring us through the trouble. He will bring us out of the trouble. And that's why fortress, refuge, shield, buckler, wings, pinions, all these pictures are pictures of protection in the midst of conflict. They're not protection. Look, you don't go into a fortress or a refuge because you want a beach vacation, right? I don't know too many people who say, oh, I want to go to the Outer Banks and hang out on the beach. I wonder if they got any fortresses there. That didn't make any sense, right? You want the fortress and you want the refuge because you're in war. You're going through trouble. You're under attack. You're being assaulted. That's when you want a shield and a buckler. Again, when you're packing up to go to Disney World, you know, you might bring your face mask now, but you're not going to bring your shield and your buckler and expect to be engaged in combat. We are under assault. We are in combat. We need that protection, that refuge. And ultimately, even through death, death is but a doorway to life. So even if the conflict ends in our physical death, it is not our death. It is but our translation into glory. And so there's a more powerful picture. We will have a long life. And a long life doesn't mean we're going to live to be 100. Long life means we're going to live to be forever. 100 million, 100 billion, 375 trillion years from now, you and I, if we believe in Jesus, will be younger and stronger and healthier and more vital than we are now. We will live forever. And we will be shown the salvation of God, the rescue of God. Again, that's that word Jesus, right? It's the salvation of God. How did Jesus become our salvation? How did Jesus become our salvation? By going through death into life. And how does God keep us? He keeps us through and then out into glory. Those Christians who want to use promises like this to try to get God's best life now, God's best promises, God's best provision now for the 70, 80, 90, 100 years we have in this life, they're missing the point. They're missing the greatness of God's true promise, which is eternal life, resurrection, full redemption. And if that means heartache, hardship, loss, pain, separation, and even death in this life, it is but the pathway to eternal life. The only way is through. And God keeps us through it all. Let's pray. Father, we are yours because you love us and because you've chosen us and because you've set your heart on us for our good and for your glory. And so we rest in you. We rest in you and we are safe in you. It doesn't mean we're not going to face troubles or trials or maybe even death. Many faithful men and women of God have been taken by you through death into life. So we pray that we would not fear, that we would not fear the attacks of our enemy, the troubles of this life, or even death itself. Because these are but the instruments that you use to strengthen us, to shape us, and to bring us ultimately through it all to yourself. So may we hide ourselves in you, surrender ourselves to you, draw close to you, run to you. For you are our refuge, our fortress, our shield and buckler, and the one who covers us under the shadow of your wings. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me this morning for Psalm 91. We will pick up with Psalm 92 on Monday, Lord willing. In the meantime, of course, we'll be gathering for worship on Sunday morning. So please join us out at the 4-H camp in the Rock State Park area under the Sharon Pavilion, under the great big sycamore tree. It's a great place to worship God. It's been wonderful worshiping God out in the beauty of His creation. So join us 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and we would love to see you there, and see you back here on Monday morning. Have a blessed day.